Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I, therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. This is the word of the Lord. Paul is a prisoner for the Lord. Prison conditions, and the fact that you had to be supported by those who were friends and relatives in prisons in that day, as you do today in many prisons around the world. Difficult conditions. Paul needed to depend on these people in prison, and he needed to depend on the guards and the others around him to get messages out and to get food in. He asks his followers to walk in a manner worthy of the calling of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I have to wonder if this was also inspired by Paul's stay in prison, because he makes it all about the things that could bring a favorable outcome to some who are in prison. Here we begin to see Paul's theme of what it is like to be like God, and it emerges here. God, who through the actions and relations of the persons of the Trinity is humble, gentle, patient, and loving. We do not see in the Bible the persons of the Trinity boasting about themselves, but rather pointing to one another. The Father points to the work of the Son and the Spirit. The Son points to the work of the Father and the Spirit. The Spirit brings to light the Father and the Son. Boasting, egoism, is a sign of weakness. Humbleness, even among the persons of the Trinity, is one of strength. As to gentleness, the second attribute Paul mentions, who is more gentle than God, who patiently bears with the sinner and affords us so much room for repentance? Who does not desire the death of the sinner, but would have a change of heart at every turn. And in this regard, God, who is also patient with us, desiring that we would acquire a heart of wisdom and courage through the Word of God and the good news of Jesus Christ, receiving new boldness through the Spirit. Imagine that, bold Lutherans, that would be something. And God is loving. He loved us enough to create us and sustains us every day through all the events that occur in our lives. He sends his holy angels to protect us and guides us through life. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to bear our sins and sorrows and take away their penalty at the cross. And because we believe in Jesus, he gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit so that we too can say with boldness and assuredness, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Not only so, but he also gives us good things to do. As we hear earlier in Ephesians, good works which he has prepared in advance for us to do. And so, although there is a diversity of gifts and talents among us, both worldly and of the Holy Spirit, we live and function as one body in the Lord Jesus Christ, having one spirit of holiness. Furthermore, we share in one hope of the resurrection of the dead and hope in Jesus Christ and his return in glory, the transformation of our bodies, or our resurrection at the judgment, and a life everlasting with Jesus. And we have the privilege of sharing in that same one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. Now we are not stuck in prison. We are stuck at seminary, either as workers, or as students, or as family members. We do not have to depend on others from outside to bring us food. We have a cafeteria. Our lot is not as bad from a worldly point of view as Paul's. Sometimes we grouse and complain about the things around us, but we're actually kind of spoiled. It's usually something like, I can't get my internet to hook up. We have air conditioning, food, drink, decent people to be around, fantastic medical care by Pauline standards, entertainment that would have been unimaginable to Paul, and so many other blessings. And unlike our predecessors at the seminary, this is always the legend everywhere and for all times, we don't have to walk uphill 5 miles every day through the snow to get to class. Do we have the right kind of attitude toward the tremendous blessings and opportunities created by our times and place? Or do we spend our time focusing on the negative, complaining in a series of idealized, if only? Paul knows what we need. We need the same thing he does. And we do this thing as badly as his followers sometimes. We need to trust the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that he has prepared us for the work we need to do, and that he will never leave us or forsake us. That he has given us a powerful and gentle spirit to do this work within us, among us, and through us. And here is where we can certainly repent and have faith. We can repent of the lack of trust and faith in what we can accomplish by prayer, by praising and giving thanks, by loving and rejoicing in the lives of our brothers and sisters, by being humble and gentle and patient with one another. And God has promised to forgive us and love us, to sustain us and build us up, to make us little lords to this world in a humble and gentle way. And God will be faithful and forgive and give us strength and love and joy and peace and patience and hope to share with others through the great good news of the death on the cross and rising from the grave of Jesus our Lord and Savior and our great High Priest. Amen.